You're listening to 15 Minutes with a Mensch. I'm Bill Battistone. This episode's Mensch is Bob Rosenthal. Bob is the current facilities chair at Redef Shalom, a position he has held since 2006. Bob is a retired mechanical and electrical engineer, but has an expertise in building structures. He's been on and off the board at Redef Shalom in the last two decades, but he's a lifetime Pittsburgher and prominent member of the Jewish community in the city. As part of the history education series at Redef, Bob is giving a presentation on April 20th on the current building of the congregation, including the construction, some behind-the-scenes tidbits, and some other oddities to the building. This episode will provide a brief sneak peek of Bob's presentation. If you like what you hear, be sure to put his virtual presentation on your calendar for April 20th. You'll certainly want to hear the answers to his four questions. I took my best guesses during our conversation, and I'm ashamed to say that I didn't get any of them correct. I really enjoyed my time with Bob, and I'm sure you will as well. But for the meantime, enjoy this episode with our mensch, Bob Rosenthal, as we preview his presentation on the building and features of Redef Shalom. All right, Bob, so thanks for joining me on this episode, and it's so great to get to talk to you for a little bit about your presentation coming up in April. But before we dive right into it, why don't you just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you ended up being involved at Redef?
Okay. I'm a lifetime Pittsburgher. My background has always been in the sciences and engineering. I'm a graduate engineer. I have a master's in engineering. And through my career, I found myself in buildings engineering, mostly designing the mechanical systems, which is heating and air conditioning, plumbing, fire protection, and some electrical. And I retired in 2005. And upon retirement, I knew I had to do something to keep myself busy, and it took me about a year until I found my retirement calling, and that was at Redef Shalom, because the then facilities chairperson was rotating off the board, and all of a sudden one day I found myself being on the board and being the chairperson of the facilities, and it really fit right into my experience, and I enjoyed it. I've been at Redef as a member, I guess, since about the, it's really the late 80s. And I was not so much a spiritual member, and quite honestly, I still am not, but I really like the people I've come to know. I like the clergy, and it feels good to work and accomplish something instead of being a retired couch potato, which I never was.
And you certainly aren't now, that's for sure. I know you're busy. So, Bob, you've obviously, you mentioned it there, but you've been around the Pittsburgh community for so, so long. How has the community and the Redef community, the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, I mean, how has it changed over the years? I mean, I know that's probably a difficult question and also an easy question at the same time, but you know, you've been around and you've seen things through. What's changed?
Well, as far as Redef, it's seen when I first joined, they were much more reformed than they are presently. And with my childhood background in conservative congregation, it sort of turned me off. But they and other Reformed congregations are coming around. I hear some of these old traditional melodies that I heard from 50 years ago, and I really, really like it. And I've even given some of the new melodies their fair turn, and I like some of them too. I like some of the traditional prayers. I knew Hebrew as a child. I'm not fluent at it. I wasn't then, and I'm not now. I like some of the Hebrew prayers. I just like the leaning back a little bit towards, you know, the a little bit in that direction. That's what I like about it. And that's how I see Road Diff having changed. Aside from the spiritual and how things are handled in services, this last year has been a real change for the whole world, how we meet and congregate under the conditions of the COVID pandemic. But we'll see how it evolves. But I like Brandon. I really like the congregation now. I've made friends there. And when I do my thing, I feel part of it is doing it for the building. And thereby, I'm really doing it for the rest of the congregation. And there's been enough to keep me busy in being the facilities chair. So if you want to leave that and get into the meat and potatoes, here I am.
Let's do it. How about let's do it? So, okay. You know, Bob, I'll talk about it a little bit in the intro, but obviously you're going to be presenting in one of the sessions for the upcoming history series at Redef Shalom in April. And I know you've been kind of playing around with the title, but really talking about the building construction, some of the behind the scenes, and some of the oddities in the building as well. So what can you share with us? I know probably, you know, you don't have the presentation completely finalized right now, but you're a wealth of knowledge. So what can you share with us a little bit about the building itself?
Well, first of all, there's much more to that building than meets the casual commuter on Fifth Avenue. Obviously, the original portion of that building, which was finished in 1907, the big white brick sanctuary, is prominent. But there's a total of about, of all the structure now, which took over in stages, which is built in stages, there's now right around 100,000 square feet. The sanctuary is for close to 10,000 square feet. So when you see this massive edifice on Fifth Avenue, that's only about one-tenth of the usable area. Now, some places, some wings of our building are three floors. We count all three floors and so. But still, there's a lot more to that overall, I'll use the word campus, than just the prominent edifice. The building with our buildings were constructed in four periods, and I'll just rattle these off. And I'll take them chronologically. 1907 was the original sanctuary. That's when it was finished. Then came around 1938. Was the school wing. That's the one off towards the side street, Devonshire Street. That's the school wing in Levy Hall. And in 1954, Freehoff Hall was constructed. That's the social hall off of Borwood Avenue. And then in around the year 2000, there was massive renovation, during which time they renovated just about everything except the sanctuary, which was totally renovated in 1989. But in 2000, they renovated everything else existing, plus they built that porte cochere, the drive-through out in the parking lot. There are some neat things about the building, and I'm not going to tell too many things here, because if I tell spill the beans here, no one's going to attend my April 20th. Remember, folks? Remember, that's April 20th. Put that on the calendar. My April 20th Zoom presentation, at which time you not only have to listen to me, but I'll have many photographs. Here's a teaser, which I'm going to present both here and on April 20th. Here is a teaser. This is what I call the four questions. My four questions. And I'm not going to give the answers. First one, there is an indoor garage at Rotiv, whereas
You're asking me. I'm going to guess wherever it is, that's where Rabbi Bisno and Rabbi Henry park.
No, we make them park outdoors. Okay. The second question is, there's a secure vault. It looks like a bank vault. Not those great, you know, thick silver doors. But it is a walk-in vault. It looks like it's a walk-in safe. Where is it? And some people know the answer to that. But what does the congregation keep in it?
Wow, that's a good one. I wouldn't even know what to guess. I would think there's some form of important relic or item from the history that we would keep in there. But
if no one would guess this, you have to know. You have to tune in, folks.
Okay.
The second one is, there's a secret door cleverly concealed in plain view. Where is it?
Now, I'm only going to, so the only thing I'm going to base this on is that I was in a fraternity in college, and I know that there would be, you could put secret doors in like bookshelves or, so I'm going to say somewhere in the library.
You mean where Boris Karloff touches a button?
Yeah, it's the right piano key and it opens. That's what I'm thinking.
No, it's not in the library, and you have to tune in. And the fourth question, which many of the older people know, is at one time there was a swimming pool in Rhoda. When was it installed and why? And why was it taken out of use? And where was it?
Yeah, well, I don't know where, but let's bring it back. I have to think that it had to have been somewhere in a basement or, again, I haven't really explored the building in that much detail, but I have to think it's somewhere downstairs.
That's a good guess, and that's as far as I'll go.
Okay. All right. Well,
so those are the four teaser questions. Getting back to the building, there's a lot behind the scenes in the way of infrastructure that's totally out of sight. Like most buildings, what you see is the pretty stuff. But there's a lot unseen that is vital to the heating and air conditioning of that building and the electrical and even the sewage. So I'll be getting into that. There's some odd things about the building, some little insignificant oddities, but I'll bring that up. Going back to the original construction, which was the sanctuary, that building architect was Henry Hornbostel, who is known to a lot of people around Pittsburgh, and probably an equal number of people never heard of Henry Hornbostel. And it's fascinating what he did, and the construction of the, by the way, Henry Hornbostel was the architect for the original campus of Carnegie Institute of Technology, of which I'm a graduate. And you notice I did not say Carnegie Mellon because yeah. I predated all that stuff. He has an interesting history, and the type, I'm going to get into the construction of the dome, the roof dome of the temple, which is very interesting. A lot of the original drawings from Henry Hornbostel we don't have in our archives. We have some, and to look at them, there's so much information it's confusing. So I'm going to give some clarity sketches. I've been told by Martha Berg, our archivist, that Columbia University has an archive that has a wealth of Henry Hornbostel's drawings, and as of 10 years ago they were available to anyone who wants to pay $400 per sheet for a reproduction.
Well,
I guess it was not in the archives budget, so we don't have them. But there's some very interesting things going on in that structure. For some reason, people are fascinated, the few people who have been down there, they're fascinated with the boiler room. I don't know why. I guess people are mostly interested in the the little tiny boiler or furnace that heats their home, and they see these things. And one woman once exclaimed to me, "My God, these must be as big as the boilers in the Titanic." I can assure you, everything's relative. They may be much bigger than her furnace, but they are much smaller than the Titanic boilers. About 15 years ago, when we needed some boiler repair, I talked to the then president of Sisterhood, which is now Women of Road of Shalom, Barbara Rogal of blessed memory. I tried to get Sisterhood to repair the boilers in exchange for which I told her I would put Road of Shalom Sisterhood in neon lights over the center boiler. She didn't fall for that. So Barbara, bless her soul, was a very astute woman. She didn't go for that. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of the facilities. The April 20th talk, by the way, I'll focus only on our Fifth Avenue buildings. I will not focus, say anything about the cemetery. It's a pretty a beautiful place, and our cemetery chairperson, Eric Krum, has done a terrific job up there. But I prefer just to focus on the Fifth Avenue buildings.
Well, I know everybody's really looking forward to it. We're really excited for April 20th, so people who are listening certainly will put it on their calendar. If anything, they have to find out the answer to those four questions, because you've roped me in to know it. I have to know now. Now I have to know what's in the safe. So, and I have to know where the swimming pool was, and I have to know where this underground parking garage is. So I will certainly be tuning in. So Bob, obviously, you know, as we kind of wrap up with our time here tonight, one of the things that I do want to ask you, and it's kind of unrelated to what we've been talking about tonight, but you've obviously been around the community for a long, long time. And I have to ask, what's one piece of advice or, you know, thing that you would tell those of us in the younger generation? I say younger. I'm just interested to hear what you have to say.
Okay. I'll just say one thing and that I've experienced myself, and that is keep learning. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, and pursue what you don't know, and you'll soon see that you're on the short end of the lever. And when you get old and gray, go to Osher classes. Osher classes?
Osher class? I don't know what an Osher class is.
O-S-H-E-R. Oh, that's terrific. Mr. Osher, I don't know how many years ago, started a program for continuing education for seniors. And his Osher classes are now offered in scores and scores of universities across the country. Two institutions offered here, University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon. And those are short classes. They're only five or six sessions, maybe an hour and a half each in duration. They have some excellent speakers, one or two of whom are members of our congregation. And you learn a lot. But
you're certainly working a lot for being retired with everything that you've got going on. So
it's very interesting, and I like what I'm doing.
Great. Well, if people want to continue to learn, I mean, that's really kind of the point of this podcast. It's me continuing to learn from as many people as I can. So if they'd like to continue to follow along on this journey, they can follow the podcast and keep listening to episodes. And then, of course, if they want to learn more about the building and the oddities and the behind the scenes, they should tune in April 20th. So, Bob, I really appreciate your time. I know for being retired, you're extremely busy, and I've really appreciated our time together. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciated our talk, and I hope people get something out of it.
"15 Minutes with a Mensch" is a podcast supported by the Prayer, Practice, and Learning Committee of Deaf Shalom Congregation in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. For more information on upcoming events or how you can get involved, visit our website at www.rodefshalom.org. I'm Bill Battistone.